So it's not about what I want. I just go get the groceries. You got to cook for me.
Today on the Rising Coaches podcast, we got the opportunity to sit down at the Final Four in Phoenix with the former Grand Canyon University and recently appointed assistant coach at Ohio State University, Coach Jamal Walker. Coach Walker has nearly 25 years of coaching experience at a wide range of stops. Following his playing career at St. Louis University, Coach Walker took a position as an assistant at Alton High School, which helped lead into F.L. Schlegel High School, Redlands Community College, Ball State, St. Louis, Murray State, Ohio University, Illinois University, and Grand Canyon University, where he helped GCU win their first ever NCAA tournament game this past season. Congratulations to Coach Walker, who was recently appointed the assistant coaching position at Ohio State University following our conversation. And please welcome Coach Jamal Walker.
Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech.
All right, so we are here, Rising Coaches podcast, live in person, and we are talking with Jamal Walker, the assistant over at Grand Canyon University, from Phoenix, Arizona.
That's right.
Home. So, Coach Walker, what's going on?
Everything's good, man. Just enjoying the somewhat a time we can have a little bit away, but really not. We're in the portal and trying to continue to build the program to newer heights. Obviously, going this year, going 30-5, we love to try to enjoy that, but at the same time, this doesn't allow you to anymore, man. So it's on to the next thing, and the next thing is to continue to get better as a program.
Yeah, tell me this, Jamal, because we've known each other for a long time, and I was just thrilled as this season was unfolding, like, because it's hard. Sure. People don't realize, like, 30 wins,
yeah,
that's hard.
Yes,
like, fans don't know how hard it is.
Yes.
Our colleagues in our profession, we know how hard that is. Right. But how did your journey to Grand Canyon come about? I obviously known you for a long time.
Sure.
Coached against each other in the past, but how did the Grand Canyon journey formulate?
Well, it kind of started. I mean, I was an assistant at Illinois from 2012 to 2020 and had some other stops along the way, but that's where kind of I worked for Brad Underwood and John Gross there for 8 years. And then, I feel like it was time to do something different. I was looking for a new challenge, some things that kind of transitioned between two coaches. I had been there. My kids were born there, and I was just looking for something kind of different. And
sure.
You know, I'm one of those guys, if you look at my background, I've always kind of done things where I feel like is right or I feel like I want to do.
Yes.
I think sometimes guys in this profession get too caught up in what the logo says on their shirt instead of the opportunity and challenge that it presents.
100%.
And so I saw Grand Canyon. It's funny, we played Grand Canyon the year before when I was at Illinois. We came down and we played. I saw the potential in the place.
Yeah.
I knew Bryce. I played against Bryce in college. I knew his ability as a coach and more importantly as a person.
Yes.
And so, you know, I think his values align with my values. I think there's something that's really important for me.
Big time.
And honestly, some people probably thought I was crazy to leave Illinois to go to Grand Canyon, but I think it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, to say the least. That's for sure.
And when you're looking at places, like, just for kind of the grand scheme of things, for maybe coaches looking at other opportunities or whatever, like, what type of values do you typically look for in a school or in a coach or in a program?
I think it's I'm a big people person, so how you treat people matters, you know, and how you treat the players matters to me. And you know, I'm a man of faith. I think that's something that's important to me. Doesn't mean every coach has to have it, but I love guys who believe in something bigger than themselves, that their purpose is not within themselves. It's bigger than them. And so faith doesn't necessarily mean a Christian faith sometimes. It's just something that's bigger than themselves. And I think when I see guys whose egos are too big and they're not humble, I think that's something that's a recipe for disaster. So what I look for is people who have a faith to them, who love and value relationships. And as simple as that sounds, that's what I look for. And I think if people treat people the right way and you believe in your purpose and what you're doing, then the sky's the limit for the opportunities. When you get opportunities, you'll take advantage of them. So,
yeah, you know what's funny? We've had some conversations about this in the past.
Yep.
And at a time when our business was really starting to change, you know, and this was right when maybe agents started to come along for coaches.
And
social media started to really blow up where guys are, you know, the self-promotion thing is out there a little bit more. We've had our share of conversations about this stuff. And so, you know, it's so refreshing because what you're talking about is you've always looked for places to land where it's about transformation instead of transaction.
Absolutely.
Obviously now more than ever, our game has gotten so transactional.
Extremely.
And so, like, the challenge to find places to land and where you can plant your feet and feel good about the building you're walking into every day because you know what the people are about.
That's right.
Like, that's almost
right on the head, man.
That's the challenge in our profession now.
That's the challenge. I think that it's becoming more transactional. But what makes it unique is if you can find people who are more building up kids, like kind of the old way it used to be. I guess it's sad to say that.
Right.
but they believe in more of a transformational a change and
yes.
the ability to impact. I think you're going to stick out more and more.
For sure.
You know, in this age of NIL and social media, where it becomes more magnified, it's about you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're gonna separate yourself.
Yeah.
And I always try to be authentically myself.
Yeah.
And unapologetically for that.
Yeah.
And so if that's not for you, then maybe I'm not for you and I'm not the place for you.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how I look at it. God's going to put me in a position to do his work and serve him, and that's what I try to do.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think the fearlessness now that it takes to be who you are, you're right. I think that does stick its head above the fray.
Yeah.
You know, now more than ever, just because, again, it's – the hustle has taken over.
Yeah. It's always been a hustle. Yeah.
It just looks different now.
It just looks different. And that's okay. You know, I think even probably the coaches 20 years before us would probably say the same thing.
Oh, 100%.
Sure. It's the evolution of life and the evolution of people and evolution. So,
yeah.
But I still think there's values. They don't change, man. I just think that
exactly.
you have to stand for something. And
right.
You have to believe in something.
Yeah.
What that is. It's up to you.
Right.
But if you don't, then you, like I said, that you fall for everything. And
I
think and as a program and as a person, that's where you fail.
Yeah,
you
know? No doubt.
I think and I talk about it a lot, and this is Rising Coaches, and a lot of guys are growing and probably want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really, really important that you, and I've said it before on some things, is just knowing who you are and being comfortable in that. And don't let the power and the egos get you out of the way of forgetting who you are as a person.
No doubt.
And stay true to that and get people around you who help you do that.
Yes.
And help you grow.
No question.
And, you know, the guys and people around you who do that are going to allow you to be successful. And that could be coaches, the coaches that you work for,
mm-hmm.
the coaches in your office.
It could be. No
your
question.
Family, your friends.
Yes.
All those people are a part of that successful journey.
Right.
And all they try to do is try to make sure that you're on the path of who the journey that they want you to be, but who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what we're trying to teach the kids, too. I mean, they're still kids. I know they're making a couple of dollars now.
Yes.
But they're still young men and they're still trying to find their way. And
right.
Our job is to serve them to find that.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. So in the process, I think that's what I think we did really well at GCU is we do that. And I think the return is they play hard. And they give us opportunities to win.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. No, because that authenticity of – with all the trimmings that our game has right now, like I still believe firmly, like kids still want something that they can hold on to.
100%.
Day to day.
Whether they know it or not.
Walking into the building, the program that they're a part of, the team that they're a part of, a place where they can be themselves,
absolutely.
A place where they can make mistakes and learn
yep.
and be taught how to grow
yep.
and you know, absorb life lessons. Like, yeah. I still think kids want that, even with everything that's 100%. Gone down.
And so even more than ever, because, I mean, now you've got so many more distractions to present that are presented to them.
No doubt.
And we're throwing all this opportunity, well, you know, media and power and ego and money. Sure. There's a lot in this right now.
A whole lot.
So, you know, these kids, and when you're trying to find yourself, like, sometimes they don't know what they're looking for. But sometimes it's like going shopping. You don't know what you're looking for, but when you see it, you're like, yo, that's it.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, you'll need the salesperson to sell it to you, right?
No. But the kids, they don't know exactly, but they can know when they see me, like, yo, what's
– Yep.
That's it right there.
Yes, no question.
You know, and I think for me and the staffs I want to work on, the presenter, I want to walk around so the kid goes like, I want what he what's up with you? Like,
yeah.
What, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And then I can teach from there.
No question.
You can teach from there.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, I can even say, just from going on college visits as a younger athlete, you know, going to high school, you go to a school, and it's just like, I don't know what it is, and I've told kids this too, I don't know what it is, but once you walk on that one campus, you're just like, exactly to your point, this feels right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple where you're just like, nope, but then that one, it's just, it feels right.
Yeah.
But then with you guys, I want to kind of touch a little bit on X's and O's, kind of offense, defense, whatever, but again, we mentioned 30-win season isn't something that you just have a walk in the park and it's easy to do.
Right.
So maybe talk a little bit about, if you go in depth as much as you want, you don't have to share the secrets, sure. But like just some things that you thought were pivotal for the season that kind of helped you guys out.
One, I got to talk about the chemistry of our players. I think the type of kids that we recruited and the type of players that we brought into the program, especially in the transfer portal age, our point guard was from Presbyterian, you know, Rayshon Harrison, terrific player. He was the year before he was the MVP of the conference tournament. He stayed, which is like, you know, he stayed around to stick around for another year. Our two guard was Colin Moore, who's a transfer from Georgia State. He lost a lot. And, you know, sometimes that's usually a red flag.
Yeah, he's wounded, though.
He's wounded. But, you know, the reason why he came to GCU was one of the main reasons. He said, I just want to win.
Yeah.
And
whatever it takes.
And he looked around, and he knew we had really good players, and he knew he was going to have to sacrifice, and we told him that he was all in for that.
Yeah. Yeah, anything but what I had.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Jay McLaughlin is our foreman, and, you know, he had been here for 4 years. He had been with us, which is rare. We had a guy who played for – since the time we walked in, he had played for us.
Wow.
And so – those guys, along with a few other ones, we had Tyon Grett Foster from the transfer portal. We had Duke Brennan, who's a tough, hard-nosed kid, who played a little bit at Arizona State. I mean, that was our core five. And then we had Javon Blackshear, who was a preseason player of the year 2 years ago. He actually came off the bench, who had played for us for 4 years.
Wow.
So when you add that up,
oh man,
you got a mixture of guys who play for us, guys who are hungry.
Yes.
And they had what I call sweat equity in the program.
No question.
Which, again, is another rare thing.
Yeah.
And so we had that. And so guys understood, and that helped transform some of the other guys who come to the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of the old way it used to be where, you know, a guy had been here for 2-3 years, and then come freshman comes walking in and goes, we don't do that here.
Yeah, we got to earn your chops.
Yeah, hey, yeah. We don't do that here. We don't talk like that. We don't say that.
Right.
We had that going on.
Yeah.
And so when you have that, you mix it in with a bunch of talented guys.
Yeah.
They're talented, too.
Yeah. And age.
And
experience.
And experience. Now you got one of the best mid-major teams in the country and allows you to go 30-5.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
That's a player-led team.
Yes.
That's a player-led.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to go to that. And it's like, it got to the point where, as you always know, and you've been there, Mace, where, like, when your best teams are just, you just say, okay, what time is the bus there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to get them there at 4:30. All right, after that, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're doing everything they need to do.
No question.
And it's their team.
No doubt.
And it got to that point.
Yeah.
You know, we had a little bump in the road at the middle party where we lost 2 on the road. We were 22-2 or something like that. And they just lost their way a little bit. And we needed that.
Yeah, for sure. Because those are resets.
Adversity is where you grow. And we didn't have a lot of adversity until that point. But again, it shows the character of our team.
Yeah.
They went on a run after that.
Yep.
And then we lost to Alabama in a really, really good game in a round of 32.
Yeah.
And we're up 3 with 6 to go.
Right.
So
Alabama's not a bad team this year.
Last time I checked, they're still playing.
Yeah.
So very proud of what we built, but it goes back to the players, and it goes back to what we were just talking about.
the type of people that you bring in mm-hmm. to your program. And with this day and age of transfer, it's really important that you kind of evaluate, yes, the talent, but just more important, the type of person in a quick period of time. Now.
Yes, yes,
you
know, yes.
And that's no longer the recruitments of the Greg Odens where you guys recruited me at Ohio State for 3-4 years.
Exactly right.
Those days are, it may be 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, at best.
Yeah.
You know, and so getting to know them and knowing what they're about and what's on.
Doing your homework, the intel. Yeah. I mean, you know, you might have to call the middle school principal to figure out what you need to find out.
You know, you're trying to build those relationships with them too, but it's just trying to figure out who they are. And then, but going back to it, it goes like, who are you as a program? That matters too.
Yes.
Because you are what you attract.
Yeah.
And so I think we attracted a group that was about winning.
Yes.
That believe in something bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
And wanted to be a part of something special, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. What about the – give us like a brief scouting report, offensive, defensive identity of GCU. Like when people – saw GCU, because this is when you know you have a good team. Mm. And nobody's ever going to admit this unless maybe you see him walking around this weekend. Mm. When people see, all right, we got GCU in 3 days or next week. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what made people worry about you guys when they saw you on the schedule?
I think, first of all, I mean, we had a legitimate positional size relative to our league and level. I mean, our point guard was 6'3", 6'4". Mm. Our two guy was 6'4", with 6'10", wingspan. Our three-man was 6'7", with a legit 6'7".
Wow.
And then Gabe McLaughlin's in a dunk contest was our fourth man.
Say no more.
Exactly. Right. And then we had a 6'9", 6'10", center. Yeah. And, you know, so we have – first of all, we have great positional size relative to our league and level.
It was big time.
At a high major level.
Big time.
Secondly, when people talk about us on the offensive end, we were top 20 in the country in rebounding, in offensive rebounding. Mm. So we played a very physical style,
mm-hmm.
and we drove the ball like crazy. And you can see that. We had 37 free throws against Alabama.
Wow.
And so we were third in the country in free throw rate on KenPom. So you throw that in there with some physicality, with mm-hmm. some size,
mm-hmm.
and then we had legit size and length came off the bench as well with mm-hmm. Luke Moore, 6'8", 6'9", transfer from Oregon. In our two games in the NCAA tournament, I told you, we blocked 9 shots against St. Mary's and we blocked 8 against Alabama.
Wow.
So we had that too.
Wow.
We were very physical. We were tough. We had great size and length.
Mm-hmm.
And we had disruptive players, you know, that were – and we recruited that.
Yeah.
We had to recruit guys with legit size and length because, honestly, we feel like the next step for us was after we lost to Gonzaga, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
The year before.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we're like, okay – was trying
yeah,
to,
what's missing?
What's
yeah.
missing to yeah. take the next step?
That's it, yeah.
And so that's what we did. And, you know, God bless us with some really good players to do that.
Whew, man. What about on offensively? Like, you know, ball comes off the rim. How's GCU coming at you?
I mean, we want to play fast. I mean,
yeah.
we probably played too much like that. We played Alabama. It looked like some people said an AAU tournament. Hey,
no, March is about hooping now.
But we play.
Yeah, you know, that's
like,
it.
That's how we play. Like when Alabama, they were like, you're going to run with Alabama? We're like,
sure.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We run.
So, yeah, they can't play 7 guys.
Yeah, we're not going to walk it up. And, you know,
right.
We're going to do what we do. You know, at this point of year, that's what it's all about.
Who no doubt.
Who can impose their will on doing what they do well on each other.
Yeah.
And so we play fast. I mean, we play, I think we were top 75 in pace.
Mm.
We took quick shots, but they weren't bad shots. Those are the shots we felt like went. And the reason, again, we touched the paint a lot.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We didn't post the ball a ton.
No, but you're forcing a lot of rotations.
Oh, we're driving that sucker, and we're penetrating, and we're playing kicking.
Yeah.
And so that was a really strength of our team on the offensive end. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we tried to play fast as possible.
Did you guys switch a lot defensively or in terms of pick and roll coverage? Ice, step out?
Yeah, defensively, what we tried to do is we try to limit rotations. I think that's really, really important. I do a lot of our defensive stuff. You know, Bryce gave me the authority to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I thank him for that. So,
yeah.
We try to limit rotations. The way we do try to do that is again, we're not a team that's like an on the line, up the line team.
Right.
You two, the guys, everybody know that. We're a gap-oriented team, but we're not a pack line team. We allow those guys to be really aggressive in gaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we want to force turnovers.
Yeah, more of an active gap. Yeah, live stunning.
Live
and yes.
Very active. Very I mean, we recruited length and size for that reason.
Yes.
And we want to be ultra-aggressive in that. So defensively, that's what we tried to do. And, again, we want to be one of those teams where if you came in the paint, like,
You're going to feel us.
And that was my – and I'll be honest with you, that was one of the things I kind of looked for. When our defense was really rolling,
guys were hitting the floor. You know,
yeah, no doubt.
Other teams were hitting the floor, like either by you know, we call them Mozgoffs, which are wall ups.
Roy Hibberts.
The verticals.
Yeah.
Or guys are coming from the weak side, and guys are going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we want to own the box. You know, we call it the box, and we want to run guys off the fence.
Yep.
Limit 3-point shots, and if you watch, you know, everybody's big KenPom guys. I'm a big one, been there since forever.
Right.
Before KenPom became KenPom. Right. You look at our numbers, and that's what you see. You see a team that affects the rim, top 20 in blocking, top 25 in blocking shots, limiting three-point rate.
Yes.
And minimizing those shots, and we want everybody to play and force tough twos.
Yeah, there you go.
The box. So that's what we did.
Yeah, no. People can't make enough of those to beat you.
Nah. I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it yet. Exactly.
I was going to say, the last thing at least I would have, because you talked about recruiting character. And, obviously, I mean, we could sit here and say a guy who can score effectively or a strong rebound, whatever. Like, attributes or, I should say, statistics aside, what's something else, like, character-wise? What's something that you look for on the floor? I mean, I guess that can go for players, like, I'll leave that open to you. But
yeah. I think, first of all, you want character. They got to be talented, obviously.
Of course.
First and foremost, they got to have talent.
Right.
They look for the character piece. But as far as other attributes on the floor, I think it depends on who you – again, it sounds crusadeous. Who are you as a program? You know, sometimes in my experience in recruiting and recruiting for really good coaches, I've been blessed to coach for a lot of them, the ones who understand what they feel like they can coach from that perspective. There's some coaches who can deal with a guy with a little bit of attitude. There's some guys who don't want that. There's some guys who – value guys who have a lot more toughness, and there's some guys who don't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about what I want. You know,
right.
I just go get the groceries. You got to cook for them.
Yeah.
Assistant coach.
Right, yeah, just give me the recipe.
I need to know what you need.
Right.
Yeah. And the guys who can articulate that as head coaches, who can convey that to their staff and get that through to them are the guys who have success. And you can start, as you get a program, you said it, really well you start saying and we go recruiting, you've been there, he looks like a blank guy.
Yeah,
those guys you start seeing, you know, he looks like a Michigan State guy,
he looks like a
Villanova guy,
no doubt,
you know, because they have established programs
that
even we can see as other assistants what looks good for them in their program. That's what you need. That's what you talk about character. That's why I can't say what particular attributes. It's who I work for. It's not really about what I want. You know, so
no, you're right. The clearer that is, It helps
everybody.
The whole room.
It helps the whole room to understand, okay, this is who we want to be. And, you know, there's some guys, you know, that'll change a little bit, but not, again, the values of it and who they want to coach and how they want to play.
Yeah.
They'll figure that out, but those other little pieces.
Yeah.
That matters.
Why,
like Brad Underwood, you know, he was different than what John Gross wanted. John Gross is different than what Bryce Drew wants.
Right.
You know. And I always say that all the time. It's again, I can't emphasize that. It's not what I want.
Yeah.
I'm not the head coach.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's what he wants.
Yeah.
And what he can coach. And if a coach can do that as a head coach, then his assistants are like, cool. You know, they know what to go get.
Yeah.
You know. So,
Well, I think the beauty of a place like GCU that takes what we're saying even on steroids is the top end of campus knows what's important.
Mm-hmm.
The athletic director knows what's important. So Bryce knows what's important. So the locker room knows what's important.
Right.
And then
it's aligned.
When we get to the floor,
it's aligned.
There you go.
It's aligned.
And so that's why,
you know,
certain places,
it's faith, man.
Yeah.
It's faith. I hate to make it seem so simple, but they
know
how important that is.
Right.
From the top, it's important to our program. It's important to our players.
That's it.
Do they have to have like a godly faith? No, they just
You don't have to be a saint.
It means is just like, again, believing in something bigger than yourself.
Exactly.
Like just having understanding and awareness that there is something bigger than you.
Exactly.
Simple as that.
Right.
You know, and if you can live that way and you learn to serve others.
No question.
Man, life is so much better, man.
Yeah.
And this winning thing happens because you're thinking about not myself. I'm thinking about my brother to my right.
Yes.
I'm thinking about my coach.
Yes.
I love him. You know, I can't let him down.
Right.
And that's what you get. And that's powerful.
And what happens is, like, people have to understand, like, 30 and 5 years just don't happen. So in the times where maybe you had a couple of tough years as you guys were building this, that alignment, that's when the alignment's a big deal.
Alignment's a big deal.
Lineman's
because
easy.
Alignment's easy when yeah. you do when you are 30-5.
Of course.
But yeah. you need the alignment from everybody else. So there's this understanding of like, hey, man, yeah. we still want to be on the same page when we lost four out of six.
Right.
And somebody's out for the season.
I'm seeing
it gives you a direction of where to go.
That, right.
Like your line, okay, this is like, you know.
Because messaging is powerful.
It's huge. It's huge. It's just like anything else. You have the mission and the vision of everybody there is like, this is what we're about.
Exactly right.
And so everybody knows where to turn to when things get hard.
That's it. That's
Simple as that.
That's it. Because right? if you can deal with that, then the other stuff you can.
Because when it gets hard, this is why, again, that's why I believe in my Lord Jesus Christ as a follower. It's like, I have something to turn to, good or bad or indifferent.
Right.
This is what I turn to.
No question.
And so I feel comfortable and I feel rooted.
Right.
You know, and so that's what programs see. And then what happens, you know, is administrators or whatever would get disaligned or they lose the focus of, hey, we get maybe they're looking at one way and they're looking at another. And
not
quite together.
That's it.
And then it's just then off it goes. And
there you go.
You know, they go get somebody else.
That's it.
As long as that stays together. And that's the hard part. Right? The more you win and the more that can come, it actually becomes difficult sometimes because then you start losing. Okay, what? You almost forget about the main thing.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Right.
This is the main.
No,
thing.
Don't forget the ingredients that made the soup. You know, like those ingredients are
don't
still
throw
legit.
That grocery list away.
That stuff's still legit.
Yeah, that's still important, right? These little things.
Exactly.
You sometimes maybe you think like, and I've talked to a lot of coaches, man, and that's what you know. I want knowledge, man. I'm a big knowledge guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask coaches like, you know, Matt Painter or Jay Wright. Hey, what, you know, when you did this and did that, and they all kind of say the same thing.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
When we lost focus of who we were.
That's it.
And it's like, man, it's like, that's, if these guys are saying it, I think Matt's one of the best dudes out there.
No question.
Now, you know, I think Jay, I was one of, and they're kind of saying the same thing.
Yes.
You know,
To your point too, I was the first thing that came in my head when you said everything has to align from the top to the bottom. I would say one of the most recent episodes we had dropped was a guy named Brad Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like he said exactly, because since he's the director of basketball operations or president of basketball operations with the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. I'm like, if a guy from there, from the Celtics and former Celtics head coach, and then, of course, a high-end, you know, Division I basketball program in Grand Canyon too, if those two can say it, you know, obviously Division II, Division III, and so on.
Right.
It's the same exact thing. Everybody got to be aligned.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's easier said than done. I mean,
of course.
You know, and that's what – you know, as I'm not an administrator and, you know, I'm not a head coach either. So to those people just need to, when they can connect in that kind of way,
mm-hmm.
that's why it's really important, the personality of the coach and who he is.
Like yes.
He may be an awesome coach. And sometimes you see it sometime in college basketball. He's an awesome coach, but he may not be an awesome coach there. You know?
Right. Fit matters.
Fit matters.
Yeah.
Alignment matters. And assistant coaches, that matters too.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
You know, it matters.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why the coach has got to say, okay, this is who we're aligned with. And he's got to get guys that align with that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And when there's a disconnect there, man, it's just like, I call it like a crack in the windshield, man. You ever had a crack in the windshield? Just blur a little.
Yeah.
And you're like, don't worry about it. And if you ever do it in Phoenix, you have a crack in your windshield, it'll spread so fast because it gets hot out here, right?
Right.
So
right.
That's what happens. If you got a crack in your windshield or one person kind of in and out of that alignment,
it could
destroy it.
Get right to Safe Light Auto as fast as you can. Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
A quick plug.
Absolutely.
There we go.
That's a quick commercial. Get that in there.
To get a new sponsor here.
Hey, yeah.
Well, I mean, you got anything else?
No, Jamal, man, listen.
So we gotta be, yeah.
This has been great. Thank you so much, number
no
one,
problem.
For doing this. Two, congratulations on an incredible season.
Thank you. Thank
you. Your day of sliding over 18 inches is coming.
Man, that's scary.
It's coming. It's coming.
I appreciate you. Appreciate saying that.
You know, God never says oops, so your day is coming.
Amen.
But more importantly, I appreciate your friendship.
Thank you.
As a friend in this profession, it's hard to find real dudes.
I appreciate it, man.
And so,
relationships,
you know,
matter to me, Mage. And
I'm
a man of faith, and so I say, you know, the one thing God always said, he made people feel a certain way. When Jesus walked the earth, that's what he did, man. It wasn't that he left a statue or anything. He made people feel a certain way.
Right.
And they made them believe.
Yeah.
And so if he's I think he's the best leader of all time to walk the earth. That's my job, is to follow him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What does it look like to leave leave whatever you're part of better than you found it.
You can leave somebody making. I want them to feel good about who I am, but more important, who they are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically what we try to do. Any kid I try to coach, is they walk out of there and they feel like they can conquer the world.
No question. No, because I mean, our level is the last stop before the real world.
Oof.
And the real world doesn't care if you're ready or not. Like, it's coming. So we got to do, you know.
Better be ready to swim.
Failure's not an option by the time we send them out the door.
Yes,
so.
Sir. Yes, sir.
But we appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, God, for having me.
Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches podcast. For an additional $300 off, select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.